So much to do, so little something. I don't know. So I don't know. You fill in the blanks. It's the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. It is Tuesday, Topical Tuesday, July 22nd, 8:24 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I have a lot to talk about today. Half of it has to do with my cup. What's in it? And what's not in it? Good morning, folks. Welcome aboard. I'm Kevin. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, and I have lots to do today. However, in the midst of all this, we have a lot to talk about. There's some heavy duty things going down, and it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to work out. We'll just have to see what happens here. And I think the news cycle will be a little bit extended here in the next few weeks. The legacy media companies are not talking about this much at all. Now, I'm the one who's going to tell you, first of all, that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. Most importantly, in this particular show, it's going to be important that you understand I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a journalist, as you might say. I listen to what other supposed journalists say, and then I give you my opinion of what they're saying and whether or not they're being truthful or not, or not. Right? I'm just telling you what they say. I don't know. Just telling you most importantly, this is a show about my opinion on the news, because I do have one of those. I am an expert on my opinion. That is that much I am an expert on, because it's my opinion, and doing the show, I kind of work out what my opinion is. But it's opinions are kind of, they can be shaped and they can be molded and they can be changed, and it's an interesting thing. Now, if you want to change my opinion, you can call the show, leave a message or a text message. You can't call the show live, at least not today, because I'm not live. I'm recording. How would you know if I'm recording this show right now? And you could call me. Could literally put you on the recording live on the recording, or real time, I guess. You can call the show or text the show, or you can go to google.com/voice and put this number in, and you can also leave a message. The number is 812-379-8778. Feel free to let me know what you think about what I think. Enough about me. What do you think about me? We have, I guess it's enough. Well, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? More importantly, what do you think about what I think? I have quite a few opinions about some things that are happening right now. And I've been listening to a lot of different lawyers. The only one I haven't listened to is Robert Gouveia, which shockingly enough, he's probably the one I have the most respect for. However, I have found a couple other lawyer sources that are online that I appreciate their commentary, and I've been listening to them. They typically have a lot longer segments. Now, Robert Gouveia does a live show in the afternoons, and it's usually 2 to 3, sometimes 4 hours long. And then he has these little snippets that he comes out. And about an hour and a half of that is him interacting with his listeners. He has a huge group of listeners who listen to him live, and then they have an after show, and they tend to talk a lot after that. I think that they even have once they go off of YouTube, I think they even have like a special time after that that they have, and it's all online chatting. It's all chat room stuff. It's not you don't hear their voices at all. Once in a while, he has a guest on. He has a couple of guests that he brings on, lawyers occasionally, but it's his show has really exploded, and it's among the legal. I should say among the legal community. But anyway, he's out in Arizona. He was a lawyer and he just started doing this thing. And of course, then after the 2020 election, his platform kind of started to explode because he started reporting a lot on what was going on with the legal battle with the election stuff and everything was happening there. And all over the country with the with all that stuff. And it just grew from there. And he finally spun off from his legal firm, and he still works for them, but he's a part of that firm. But his number one priority right now is to do his YouTube channel. Apparently, it's a lucrative thing. I've never monetized anything, and I wish I had. I unfortunately didn't do that when my nephew was working on his little business. I was helping him with some stuff. We were producing videos, and he was doing reviews of certain products. And you know, had we monetized some of those have over 1 million hits, and had we monetized those, he probably could have made a living doing that. Doing the reviews he was doing. And we were kind of opposed to monetizing on there just because we didn't want to have any kind of influence. However, understanding what, and of course things have changed since then. What he was doing then probably wouldn't even monetize him now. Just so many things. They just change things all the time like that. They do that constantly with a lot of different organizations do that. Have you ever been involved in multi-level marketing at all or any kind of programs like that? Those sweep through the country occasionally, much like Amway, but they're spinoffs from Amway type stuff. Multi-level marketing. So you have a sponsor, you have somebody above you, and then they have people above you, them, and then everybody makes a cut on what everybody else is doing, and it's not a Ponzi scheme, but boy, it's the closest. They just find a product that they can push out there that everybody buys into, and people at the bottom don't make any money. So we have they do all the work, they don't make any money. But it's not a Ponzi scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme. I guess what they call it, a pyramid scheme. But it is a pyramid scheme. Whenever you have a downline, it's a pyramid scheme. Just keep that in mind. It's kind of the definition, regardless of what they want to call it. Well, it's a lateral move. Amway is a pyramid scheme. And I would highly discourage anyone from getting involved in it. You can make some money in it. There are some successful people. However, like any other business, you just have to do a lot of work, and I think you're better off investing in something else and doing a real business that serves the community. It's just my opinion. It's a show about my opinions. That's my opinion. There you go. Of course, their math never works out. The last time I sat down with somebody, I told him I wouldn't. I'd sit down with anybody and talk to him, but as long as it wasn't Amway. When he showed up, he said, it's not Amway, it's marketing. Or network, some kind of warehousing or whatever we called it. This is back when they're trying to rebrand themselves. And of course, it turned out to be, it was Amway. I said, okay, no. He almost walked off. And I said, well, so let's sit down. We'll have a chat. See how this goes. I took some notes as he was talking because I know how their little spiel goes. They go through this whole spiel, and I was writing some stuff down. And he was saying, you're gonna make this much of money if you have this many people in your downline. You're gonna make that much money, and blah blah blah. And it kept on going. Then you get to this level, and you're gonna have that much money. And I said, so just so I'm clear here, I'm gonna make this kind of money, this much money with this many people in my downline. I started doing the math. Said, so in order for me to make this much money, how much of a percentage am I making on everything that's being spent below me? Well, he kind of hem-hawed on that. He wasn't sure. So we worked out the percentage of what I was making basically on what everybody was spending below me. And then I said, so I'm going to make this much money based on this percentage. That means there's this much being spent in Amway below me. Because you take say I'm going to make 5% of everything that gets sold below me. Well, that means there's 95. That means they spent 95% of that of their money. 100% of their money was spent. I got 5% of it, which I can do the math and figure out what the other 95% was. And so I know what the amount of money was being spent below me on Amway products. So I will know the volume of at least the cash output. So I did the math real quick there for him, and I took it from 5% because it's what I'm making. That means there was this much. Say it was, $1,000. Let's make it $500, which means there's going to be $100,000 spent from the people below me. He was telling me what the average income was of everybody that's. Back then, the average income, I think nationally, the average income was like $38,000 a year. It tells you something about when this was back in the 90s. And he says, okay, so you're telling me that the average income out there, so you're saying that everybody, all these people are spending this much money. It wasn't $100,000. It was much, much more than that. And you're saying there's this X number of people and they're spending this amount of money on Amway products. It turned out that about 70% of their income was being spent on Amway products in order for me to make that kind of money on my downline. So you're telling me the average person out there making $38,000 a year is going to spend $20,000 a year, or whatever it was, I think it was $20,000 or something, 20-something thousand, on Amway products in order to put X amount of money in my pocket every month. Yeah. I said, you're insane. I said, you're insane. I said, this math doesn't work. The math doesn't math, as they say now. That's what the kids are saying now. And he didn't get it. He did. Finally, I said, okay, you're telling me that the average person makes this much money a year. You're telling me I'm going to make this much money off of those average people. Well, those people aren't going to be average because they're going to be selling Amway as well. I said, no, this is the total Amway. This is the number of people in my downline. By the numbers you told me, this is exactly what was happening here. This was just based on the sales of these products. It has nothing to do with these people. So you're telling, then we went through the process, and I said, okay, so let's just keep it at the average income. I put that on the side and I said, okay, now how much do you think they're going to be making on their downlines? Because those people are way down the line. They don't have a downline yet. So how much extra are they going to be making a month? So you're telling me instead of spending 60% of their income, now they're going to be spending 30% of their income on Amway products. I said, how much of your income per month do you spend on Amway products? Well, I don't spend that much yet. I'm planning on it. Huh. And yet the people above you, so for every person that doesn't spend that much money, then somebody else is spending more. Sorry, buddy, this isn't going to work. How many people out there spend money on Amway products? I just in general per capita. I just don't, maybe 0.1% of the population. Just makes me want to drink my chai, which is in my cup right here. I have my chai with my cinnamon, my almond joy creamer. I think it's almond joy. It's just almond joy. Maybe it's just coconut cream. It's got coconut. I don't know. It's coconutty. I think it's almond joy. But and then in my backup cup, by the way, is a wonderful thing. I have home brewed peach sweet tea with fresh peaches. In the pitcher in the refrigerator. Now this is the what I'm drinking here right now. It has the fresh. It's the right out of the maker. Right out of being made. So there's not much peach flavor in this, however, from now forward, from any time you do, because it had a chance to sit overnight. I haven't drank this. That's not what this is. I should have put a little slice of peach in this one just to make it peachy for night right now, but it'll be peachy tomorrow. Now we also went to the fair last night again, because there was more food there that we couldn't eat everything on Sunday night. So we went back last night, spent a bunch of money so we could go in and spend a bunch more money on food that we probably could have just bought it at a deli, but it's that fair experience. You know, it's like we went and watched the high diver guy. I think it's one of the local banks or something, or somebody. Who was it that was putting on those, sponsoring this thing? They didn't have their name anywhere. I was kind of, they made one little mention of their name. I can't remember what the sponsor was. I don't think it was Intera. Local business here. One little mention of their name sponsoring this high diving thing. They had a big tank of water. And of course, we sat down too far to see the tank was actually taller than where we were. We couldn't see where they were actually hitting the water. They made it real drama. You know, it was all dramatized. It was a pretty good act, actually. It was very good. Unfortunately, you know, it's stuff like that that kind of makes me wonder sometimes if, you know, kids who see that kind of thing, they were frolicking around and doing crazy things off the diving boards. And of course, they had this big high dive tower that they had people diving off of or jumping off of and doing things. I think it was 80 meters. It wasn't 80 meters. 80 feet, maybe. 80 feet. It's above the ground. Now, the tank was 10 feet above the ground, so it was, you know, really 70 feet. But he was up there, you know, did his thing, and he dived. You know, this guy, there was like four divers, I think, four people, four of these guys that were doing their thing. I think it was four. And they were doing different tricks off the low board, the mid boards, and medium boards, and all kinds of stuff. And some were a little more talented than others. One of the guys was a deep diver. He was a deep free diving, which is a, and that's not diving. It's not diving off a diving board. It's a different kind of diving. It's where you dive down deep. You try to set records going down the depth of how far you go down. So you usually grab a hold of a weight and it pulls you down and you do your thing and you let go and you hope you make it to the top and make it back up again. it's very dangerous, actually. But this, I think about kids watching this kind of stuff and then they go to their own home pools and start screwing around. And they encourage each other to try to do, you know, same thing. And it's just, that's how kids get hurt. But it was entertaining. And that's all that really matters, I guess. And it was free. So that was important too. But we went and got some chicken, some barbecue chicken. Nelson Golden Glow. They don't sponsor the show. We got some of that. And then I totally forgot. We were on our way in there. I was like, what are you going to eat? She was like, oh, I'm going to get some chicken. I was like, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to get. It seemed like there was more choices that we were thinking about the day before, but I was thinking, oh, I'll just get chicken. I was thinking about pulled pork, actually. I'm not a huge pork. I don't go out of my way to get pulled pork more often. But it was, I was trying to think what I wanted, and I said, well, I guess I get chicken too, I guess. Just get a half a chicken. That was good. You know? And my wife wanted to get a pretzel. Those pretzels, you can put cinnamon or mustard or whatever you're going to put on it. And she put half mustard and half cinnamon on hers. And we kind of shared that because she couldn't eat the whole thing. So I ate a big chunk of it. And cinnamon part, I can't stand mustard. And then we thought, oh, if we didn't get pizza. We saw somebody with pizza. I was like, yeah, we forgot to get pizza. I would have gotten pizza if I'd have thought about it. That was kind of the missing thing there. I had a hankering for something. Didn't know what it was. So we ended up going over and buying two pizzas after the show, after the high dive show. Went and got a couple pizzas and brought them home. So we're going to eat those today. But get out of there. I guess the show, the grandstand show, apparently the guy got sick or something. He couldn't do the grandstand show. So it was kind of I don't know what happens when that happens to people. I don't know whether they have to refund their money or what happens. Usually the venue usually gets like a 50% break on it. I'm not sure what they do with that. But somebody else locally, I think, filled in, played. If I'd had my guitar, I'd have jumped up there, you know, sang a couple songs. You know, Country Roads or something. I don't know. I don't know. Done something. I know several Christian songs that are actually, you know, people don't think of them as Christian songs, but they're actually kind of they're not necessarily Christian. And some of them aren't necessarily, I know some songs that aren't necessarily Christian songs that actually have kind of a deep, they actually are inspired by people who are Christians, and they're actually they're good songs. I mean, they're good community songs. I'd probably do some, I don't know, but, you know, do some of those. Anyway, or just something patriotic. Maybe patriotic songs or something. I don't know. I heard one yesterday, the first time I ever heard it, and I actually liked it. It was, I'd like to try to find it again. I didn't have a chance to, I was in the middle of something else and didn't have a chance to really pay attention to it, but I really did. It was really pretty good, actually. I'm not big on patriotism. However, I'm big on patriotism. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't go to church expecting to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I think it's important that we respect our nation and have a certain devotion to what our nation stands for. It's not so much about the country or about the government itself. It's more about the our principles. I think that's why. Yes. Anyway, the onward and upward. In my backup cup here, I have my peach sweet tea in my backup cup, and I'm going to move on from here. Important message right across the news thing here. Breaking news. Tulsi Gabbard came out the other day and talking about this whole Barack Obama thing. I'm going to break this down for you a little bit because, as I said, I'm not a lawyer. However, I've listened to several lawyers give their take on this, and it's coming very clear how simple this actually is and how deeply, deeply damning it is towards Obama and probably 51 former intelligence agents who were involved in this whole thing. I'm going to try to break it down the best. This is just off the top of my head of everything I remember listening to. I'm going to try to get over all the details. This is not going to be a super detailed thing, but I'm going to fill in a few blanks and a few details. And at the end of it, I'm going to give you my summation on what I think is probably going to happen, or not, I should say not happen. And then what I think should happen is Mike going to give me my opinions on all that. So that's where we're going to go with this. I have just a couple things here. One thing to start off with. Barack Obama, and I by extension, I think the hand in the puppet, which is Valerie Jarrett. I've mentioned that before. Most people don't realize the power that Valerie Jarrett had behind the scenes. Valerie Jarrett could have stepped in as president while Barack Obama was in the office, and you would have never seen a change. There would have been anything different than the person speaking. Just saying that. That's kind of the way that worked. And most people don't realize that. That she very quietly was in the background running the show. Barack Obama, he was almost as inept, even though he had his mental capacities, he was almost as inept as Joe Biden. There were times he would walk out of meetings only to have Valerie show up, walk back in. This is known published material that you can, this is in document, this is in meeting records. He would walk out of meetings with his staff only to have Valerie come in and explain what was going to happen. He may have been large, but she was in charge. Now, having said that, she won't go down for anything at all. Now, here's the basic layout of what Tulsi, the reason this is important is because Tulsi Gabbard actually sent documents yesterday to the DOJ with the recommendation of prosecution. This is a serious thing. This is why so many people in Congress were throwing tizzy fits and trying to discredit Tulsi Gabbard, trying to say that she was a Russian asset, in cahoots with Assad and all this. They did not want her in that position. I mean, Victor Davis Hanson actually made a comment about this about some of Trump's picks for his cabinet. And for the heads of some of these organizations, it was very clear, somebody got burned by a particular agency. Well, I'm going to put you in charge of that agency now. You can just have it at it. Nothing worse than an agency going after somebody. The next thing you know, they're all working for that guy. This is kind of like the guy who goes to a business, maybe a restaurant. Restaurant treats him terribly. Gives him poor service, or maybe works for a company. This is even better. So say you work for a company because Tulsi was, she was a soldier. She was, and this has happened. In fact, I've often wondered what I would do apparently there was a rumor. I was working for this one company one time, not that long ago, and there was some kind of rumor about me being like independently wealthy and having all this. Apparently, I don't know how far it went or how many people heard this rumor and how many people knew better. There was apparently a rumor about me having all like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, just like being a billionaire or something. I got some ridiculous. And I think what it had to do with is if you Google my name, if you know my full name and you Google it, well, there's a president, there's an owner of a very large company that has my name. And a lot of times his name pops up first with a bio and a Wikipedia and everything. So a lot of people think I'm him when they see. If you haven't met me, you'll look that up and you'll think that couldn't be that guy. Couldn't be that guy. Of course, when you see a picture, you realize I'm not. I don't know if that had any influence on this whole thing or not, but I'd heard this rumor that had been going around that somehow I had all this money and I was going to buy the company. And I did, you know, and I might have said something like that at one point briefly in a group of friends. I might have said something about, you know, I should just buy the company and do this and fire people or whatever. These people, I'd get rid of some of these people. And I might have said that off the cuff. I don't know, because, you know, that's like something I would say, just goofing around. And somebody probably heard that or maybe that just put fuel to the fire, somebody talking about me, you know, afterwards. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But later on, I heard this rumor. And so then I started throwing fuel on the fire. I would talk about doing things. Once in a while, I'd bring it up. I just, yeah, well, you know, if I owned this company, maybe I should just buy this company and do something. And I would say it in a way that was kind of serious. I think it would leave people kind of wondering, is that guy actually, could he actually be my, you know, guy could end up being my boss. Anybody who actually knew me knew better than that. But you just kind of leave those kind of stuff out there for people to, you know, I guess so they got something to do. That's their hobby, talking about people. So I ended up, of course I left that company, but it's one of those things that you think about those kinds of things. Like, this has happened. And I've seen this, especially in certain industries, this can happen a lot. In the aviation industry, by the way, it happens quite often. People will be some head chief pilot someplace will be someplace and you'll think he's the big shot. Yeah, you come to look for a job or you work for him and he treats you like, you know, you're the peon and you have to, you know, oil the doors and you have to do all this stuff and you have to, they dump on you all the time. It's just, they treat you like crap. And the next thing you know, that chief pilot's looking for a job. He's looking for, you know, because they sold the airplane or whatever. He goes someplace looking for a job and he goes somewhere else. And sitting across the desk from him was that guy he was dumping on all of his life. For a year, or the guy that he fired, or whatever happened, and he realizes that the guy who's he's going to be working for is that guy that he treated very, very poorly, and now here he is begging for a job from this guy. Either the guy's going to give him the job and he's going to treat him like crap, or he's going to not hire him at all. Typically, you know, you show up and the guy in the interview's the guy that you know you've done wrong. You just typically those people just walk out the door. Oh, that guy's not going to give me a job. Now, I don't know, but, you know, you kind of look at this and you have to look at it as you know, what would I do in this situation? Because this is kind of like a Joseph situation. You know, his brothers kind of mistreated him. Depending on how you read the story, one brother definitely was, but the real story there, behind the story, the way it's usually told in children's stories is a little different than the way it actually happened. But it's they did him wrong. Let's just put it that way. And of course, now they show up to talk to the Pharaoh's, you know, guy, and it's their brother. They don't even know it. They don't even recognize him. which is, has all kinds of biblical meaning as well. But the all of a sudden, he's in charge. Their lives depend on him. They thought he was dead. So that's kind of one of those. That's the way those stories are. You know, you never know, that guy sitting in the seat next to you that you're in charge of today could be your boss tomorrow. Could be the chief pilot. Guy could become chief pilot of the company. You know, you never knew. And I flew with a guy one day. He didn't tell me. He didn't bother telling me. About halfway through the flight, I said, "Yeah, and by the way, I'm just doing this flight to keep my currency up because I'm actually the assistant chief pilot down in such and such place, down in such and such a base or whatever." I'm like, "Oh, well, that would have been nice to know." I mean, <what's, laughs> this is a guy who could, you know, he could get you in big trouble, say or do the wrong thing. He probably, which, you know, you just don't want to do, you know. I don't do it anyway, but I could see myself sticking my foot in my mouth somewhere. But anyway, typically the only reason, way I take my foot out of my mouth is so I can put the other foot in. But the, so I have this whole thing with Barack Obama. Let's break it down. I got to get this done quick because I got to go buy a mower. I got to buy a mower today. I am pretty sure that I'm going to be buying a mower. Anyway, so here's what happened. The 2016 election's popping up. Barack Obama is the president. Hillary Clinton is running. Everyone thinks she's the ordained queen. She's going to be passed on. She's going to be the first woman president. Everybody's, oh, this is so exciting. It's going to be another landslide victory because everyone wants to have a woman president, and everybody's all excited about having a woman president, like they were having a black president. We have to have a black president because it's because he's black. It's because he's black, not because he's a good president. Just because he's black. Now we have to have a woman president because he's a woman. He's got to have a woman because we've got to have everybody represented. Shatter that glass ceiling. It's important. Whatever happens to the glass that you break when you break that glass ceiling, doesn't it call them falling down on the top of everybody? Isn't that kind of a danger? Shouldn't somebody call OSHA about that? Anyway, so this whole thing's happening. Well, the intelligence agencies came out with a report. And, you know, if you don't, I've not heard anybody talk about this, but I remember Barack Obama before the election mentioned, well, there's really no any way anybody can hack our elections. Our elections are very secure. There's no way anybody can really hack them. Now he's trying to stick up for the integrity of our elections so that when Hillary is anointed and ordained, there can be no question. Oh, no, our elections are very secure. Which, of course, would come back to haunt him after the 2016 election, after November. So what happens is the intelligence, of course, the 2016 election happens. Donald Trump wins. Shock spreads through all of society on the left. Amazingly, and what's really amazing is that Donald Trump's, the Republican Party actually spent more money in 2016 than they did in 2024. So, what ends up happening? I just got a text message. What is that about? Where are we going here with this? What is? I don't know where they are. I don't know where my text messages are. Where did my text messages go? They're gone. I have no text message. Where's it? Oh well. So Barack Obama, within days after the election, within less than a month. Now keep in mind. Now remember, if you remember back on the soon after the election, within 24 hours, Hillary Clinton, of course, didn't come out with a concession speech right away. It took her a little while to get that concession speech out of there. She comes out with this concession speech. The very first interview that she had. The very first interview she had after the who's he, what's it? The election when she lost. It's an interesting message. So right after she lost, within the first week or so, she wasn't seen for a while. And then she did this interview. She was the very first person who ever brought up anything about the Russians hacking the election. Now, there's two different terms here, hack and interfered. You will find that whenever there was a legal statement made by any of these people, any of the people in the powers that be who were talking about it, whether they be intelligence agents or whoever they were, heads of the FBI, Comey, whoever it was, McCabe, whenever they made a public statement or made any kind of formal statement, it was always interference. They used the word interference. Whenever it was just general conversation and the way it was talked about in the media and everything else, it was hacked, the word hacking. The Russians hacked our election, or the Russians interfered with our election. There's two different phrases that they would use. Very important legally. I'm not a lawyer, but that's the way I understand it is. There's two different, very serious meanings there. Much like having all the hallmarks. They didn't come out and say it was a Russian operation with Hunter's laptop. It had all the hallmarks, though. Had all the earmarks, all the hallmarks of Russian operation. We don't know what those hallmarks are, of course, but it's very careful that they said it had all the hallmarks. They didn't come out and say it was. And they didn't say the Russians hacked it. They said the Russians interfered with our elections. That interference boils down to somebody from Russia paid for about $150,000 worth of Facebook ads. If Hillary would have spent $300,000 on Facebook ads, she probably would have won. But that $150,000 put them over the edge and made Donald Trump win by an electoral landslide. Now, having said that, you have to facepalm there and just go, well, why didn't we think of doing Facebook ads? So what ends up happening, is during the, after the election, within the first week or so, timeline is not something I'm going to be real detailed about here. Just, I'm giving you generalities because I can't remember for sure. But the sequence of events, I think, is more important that you have to understand. So now, prior to this 2016 election, prior to November, the month of November, way back, I think actually it started in 2020 or 2019, I believe. I'm pretty sure it did anyway. I'm not positive of that. So here's what happens. The Steele dossier. Dossier comes out, and it's floating around out there, but it's not really getting any traction because they didn't think they needed it. See, this is one of those times where they thought, we're going to win by such a landslide, we shouldn't even worry about this too much. Now, if you recall, Peter Strzok and his lover in the FBI, he's directly, his direct report is Andy McCabe. And Andy McCabe is his, Andy McCabe goes directly to James Comey. That's the chain of command there is James Comey, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok. Peter had this insurance policy. The insurance policy, this is before the election. He's making these comments on these text messages that he was putting out. Before the election, he's saying, we have this insurance policy. Hillary wins, 100-1 or whatever, however what he said. 1,000,000-1. But if just in case we have this insurance policy. Now, what does that mean? Because if you lose, you pull out the insurance policy, what are you going to do with that? Well, that's going to get the guy out of office. Now, will that overturn the election? That's what they were really trying to do here, is get the election overturned. It wasn't just about getting Trump out of office and putting Mike Pence in. It was about, which they probably would have been okay with, actually. But the big thing was that they were after was to get the election overturned. That would have been the ultimate goal. Get Hillary back into office. Or in office. She was never president, by the way. In case you forgot about that. She acts like she was. Now, the term illegitimate president started popping up. Now, I wanted to play. I didn't play this. I could probably play this tomorrow, but let me just look at. I think I can pull this up pretty quickly. There's a montage of things that people were saying on the news media, and it became this. I don't know why this is. Boy, this is really kind of slow today. Here we go. History. we have this. Montage of people saying, "Oh, this thing's just going really slow." I may not even bother with it because it's just going way too slow. The guy's name is Larry, with Larry O'Connor. Maybe I can't play. Oh, here it is. This actually popped up pretty quickly. Let's see what we got here. So. First of all, we've got Tulsi Gabbard's statement, and I want to play this because I think it's important that we get the context here of everything that's being said. This is Tulsi Gabbard's statement about what happened, and we're going to get into more of the details about the timeline. So let's just go with this. Here it is.
It's one
this is
that,
Saturday
that doesn't
morning.
Just affect Democrats or Republicans. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue with such significant impact that it should concern every American because it has to do with the fabric and integrity of our democratic republic. That we had a situation here where in the months leading up to the...
Now, you almost need a whiteboard to describe this because it's important to understand all the players involved in the timeline that was going on here. So I'm gonna let her say it. I know it's a little bit confusing if you're listening to it on, they're not really showing any graph. You almost need a graphic to see, to make really make
2016
sense. For me anyway.
Election, the intelligence community assessed, and this is what the documents detail, the intelligence community assessed essentially Russia doesn't have the tools, the capability, or the intent to try to change the outcome of the U.S. presidential election. Donald Trump pulls off a historic victory against Hillary Clinton in November of 2016. Even in the days after that election, the intelligence community continued their consistent assessment that reflected the same thing in the months leading up to the election. All of a sudden, in the early days of December, there was a president's daily brief that was drafted. This is put together by the different elements of the intelligence community that reflected that same assessment. Russia did not try to hack the election, in essence. That PDB, that document, was pulled hours before it was supposed to be published for the president to see that following morning. That document was never published until we released it yesterday.
Now, let me explain to you that document was put together by the intelligence agencies. That document was supposed to be a deference to the fact that Russia did not affect the election. That they didn't need a Mueller report. They didn't need a Mueller investigation. This was already done. The Mueller investigation was an attempt to have the ability to look up all kinds of other things. To do some digging to find other dirt. They knew there wasn't any dirt in this Russia. They knew the Russia thing wasn't legitimate. They needed a license to bust down doors is what they needed. That's essentially. And that's what they were going after. This report, that if it would have been published for the president, it would have gone into the public record. And anybody in that meeting that was presented to, when it was presented to the president, anybody in that meeting would have received that information and it would have all been, you know, that would have been out there in the public. Now, and they would all have been culpable. Now, somehow that dossier, that report was pulled prior to the official meeting. Obama knew. The president is usually briefed on what's coming up and what's going to be in that brief. This kind of stuff happens all the time. They know what's coming in the briefing. There's inside information. There's backtrack. There's back channels of communication. There's all kinds of things happening all the time. Word got back to somebody close to Obama that this briefing was going to be about, what this report was going to show. And Obama put a kibosh on it. We're not going to have that thing come out. We're not going to put that in the record. Pull that thing back out. That's what happened here. That's what she's talking about when she's talking about pulling that report.
One day later, President Obama calls a meeting of his national...
One day later, after this is pulled.
...National Security Council, his top officials, to be held on what they called a sensitive topic. And the results of that meeting, which we released yesterday in these over 100 documents that talk about in detail how President Obama and his team, he directed a manufactured piece of intelligence that detailed not if, but how Russia tried to influence the outcome of the United States election.
That's it's right.
There you go. That's what they did. So all of a sudden, instead of directing his folks to say, well, look into this and see if there was any. They already looked into it. This was the report. The report was no, there was nothing there. All of a sudden, he calls this meeting and all these people are there. Andy McCabe was there. All the heads of the CIA, Brennan, all these people were there in this meeting that Obama has. They don't get to speak. He lets them know. Now, see, not all the heads of the information, like the CIA, doesn't necessarily talk to the DR, or whatever, just all these different, like OSI or anything else. They don't talk to all these different agencies. Now you've got Tulsi's the head of, is a very new organization, essentially. It's pretty fairly new. It is the curator for all the information. Now, they don't necessarily know what everybody else knows. Brennan may not know what Clapper knows, and Comey might know something that somebody else doesn't. You know, they kind of keep some things close to the vest. They don't let anybody else know. So they're in this meeting, and they just think that, oh, okay, well, I guess there must be some kind of other information about this that is put together. So now they're starting to question. I'm sure there's some people in that meeting going, oh, this is fake and it's phony. But they, you know, you just, you know, the human factor here is you probably start to undermine your own confidence here in what you know. They must know something I don't know. Because they're all of a sudden they came out with this thing where they're saying, this is how the Russians affected our election. This is what you're going to write a report on how they affected our elections. Not if they did, how they did. And it's very important that you understand all they needed was influenced. Because what was going to leak to the media within the next 24 hours after that meeting, within 24 hours, leaks. Now, leaks to the media are, there's basically three different paths that happen here. When you have high-level meetings like this that are not supposed to be leaked to anybody in the press, these meetings go on all the time. A lot of times, most of the time, they're not leaked and nothing's leaked. Leaks are typically intentional. Normally, the administration itself, okay, let's look from the administration standpoint. When they want something to be leaked to the media, it is for their political gain. In other words, they want to have political opinion on something. They want to leak something to media. It's top, you know, unnamed sources today say that, anonymous sources tell us that this happened in today's meeting and that there's talk about this happening. So they want to get that out there in the public. They want to feed the narrative. They want to get that thing rolling as a particular direction. They have to get a particular. The public mind behind them on a particular subject. Now, that's one side of it. And sometimes this goes hand in hand. Sometimes they do this in orchestration. They orchestrate everything together. But the sometimes an intelligence agency will do this just so they have the ability to continue on reporting. So what they'll do is they will leak something to the press. The press will report on it. That gives them probable cause to do more investigation, to actually open an official investigation. This happens. In fact, this happened during the Trump thing too. But this happens all the time with them. They didn't just come up with this idea. It's been going on for years. But they come up with something. They leak something to the press. The press reports it. And now, based on that press report, now they have probable cause to go after something. Well, now the FBI is going to look into this. You're saying that this happened? Oh, goodness. Well, we need to look into that then. But we have an anonymous source from this journalist. We can't divulge who the source is because that's freedom of press. But we can't. We must look into this. We're going to start digging into this. Well, it gives us probable cause to have warrants now. Because this is what they did with the whole thing with the Trump investigation. It was crisscross reporting and leaking in order to get probable cause to get the FISA warrants. That's exactly what they did. And the guy who went and did it signed, checked off the no box instead of the yes box or whatever it was, one way or the other, knowing full well that he was checking it off the wrong way. Had to do with the probable cause question. So, now keep in mind, the Steele dossier has nothing to do with this yet. This is something that they brought in later on to give them credibility into further, further motives here. Now, so this is all prior to the election. This 2016, that they had all this stuff ready to go. Of course, then they lost, and now they're scrambling. All this stuff is happening. The intelligence agencies come up with, and we don't see any evidence that Russia did anything. Then all of a sudden, the official story is in this big meeting, which, by the way, James Comey didn't show up for. Now, keep in mind, James Comey was always wanting to be on the inside of everything. He would normally have been in this meeting. Andy McCabe was there. James Comey had to have been there. The heads of every organization, every alphabet soup organization were there. But James Comey surprisingly wasn't. Now, I don't know if he was, if he just had, was that was his day, it was his official day off. If he was on vacation. If it was his daughter's, granddaughter's recital or something. I don't know. Maybe he was traveling and didn't make it back. Maybe he got stuck in traffic. I don't know. Whatever it was. Wasn't in that meeting. Now, this is the same James Comey who taught ethics at Cambridge. He was an adjunct professor at Cambridge teaching ethics. This is the same James Comey who went to a meeting with the president, a formal one-on-one meeting with the president, and then rather than giving his notes on that meeting, which were seriously confidential notes, rather than giving his notes to the press, he gave them to somebody else with the intention of giving them to the press because he didn't feel like that was ethical for him to do that. It wasn't ethical for him to give them to the press, but he could give them to somebody else to give the press. This is the kind of weaselly kind of person this guy is. He's a snake in the grass. It's not ethical for me to do this, but I can have the same outcome if I do this and that. That makes it. Now it's all good. Now I'm Mr. Up and Up. I'm Mr. Ethical Man. The intent was the same. And the ends justified the means. And the means, just snuck around. There's a workaround for that. We'll just send a couple guys over. Let's not go through the normal channels to talk to Mr. Flynn. We're not going to do that. We're just going to send some. We'll just send a couple guys over. Tell him he doesn't need his lawyers there. And we'll trick him. We'll trap him. Next thing you know, he's going to court, getting jail time. But whatever it is, this is the James Comey that didn't show up at this meeting. Well, there's a reason why he didn't show up at the meeting. Is because later on he steps in unknowing of anything that happened at this meeting. Didn't see anybody who was there. He can't be quite, if he's ever questioned by anybody. Now he doesn't have to lie about any of these things. He can see, Well, I wasn't at that meeting. Well, I don't know exactly who was there. I wasn't in attendance. So I don't know. I can't verify that anybody was there. Anybody that was there. Of course, there's work records, but people who worked directly for him, directly reported to him, were there, but he probably couldn't confirm that either because he wasn't there. This is called plausible deniability. How convenient for him that he wasn't there. I'm sure he was probably in the other room watching on a monitor. Now, why wouldn't he have been in a Zoom call or something? Why wouldn't he have been on the phone or in, you know, some, if he couldn't, you know, whatever. So this is where it happened. This is what happens here. They come out with this report. This is what's going to happen now. You guys are going to, we're all going to stick together on this. And we're going to say that the Russians influence our elections. Then launches the, of course, the media gets involved in this. They launch the narrative. They get it out there. Then the next thing you know, you've got the Mueller report. You've got everything else, you know, the Mueller investigation. You got all this stuff that's happening. In the meantime, in the media, this is what you hear in the media after this is all said and done. Let's go with, let's start right here. I think this is where it starts. This is a montage of what the media was saying.
Russia hacked our election. Russian hacking of our election.
Hacking of our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Stolen election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
The universal assessment that Russia hacked our election in 2016.
Foreign governments hacked our elections.
Most young Americans consider Donald Trump an illegitimate president.
Illegitimate.
He's an illegitimate president.
Why is he illegitimate? He just won an election.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind. That's it.
I absolutely agree.
Experts urge Clinton camp to challenge election results.
We will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
He's an illegitimate president.
Russia hacked our election.
Russians hacking our election.
Hacked our election.
Russia hacking our election.
I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president.
Trump is an illegitimate president who stole the election.
He is not a president.
He's illegitimate. And my biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Hillary Clinton voters call to overturn election results.
More than 4 million people have already signed a petition on change.org calling for the electors of the Electoral College to, quote, ignore their states' votes and
this
cast
prior
their
to the
ballots
college.
For Secretary Clinton.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
We are the victims of a bloodless coup.
He didn't win the general election.
Yo, Electoral College, make Hillary Clinton president, period.
Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
He's an illegitimate president.
Dems don't accept Trump as a legitimate president.
This wasn't on the level.
This election was not on the level.
I don't think he's a legitimate president.
Our election wasn't legit.
He got his victory from cheating.
Yes, Trump cheated.
Trump cheated the 2016 election.
He's an illegitimate president.
No validity, no credibility.
Mm. And because of that,
anger at what some see as an illegitimate president.
Donald Trump has got to go.
It will not be a peaceful change of power.
A number of incidents turned violent. Protesters hurled trash cans, flash bombs, and objects at police.
Several officers injured.
Protesters threw rocks and smashed windows, leading to more confrontations, injuries, and arrests.
The chaotic scene just blocks outside the secure area of the inauguration.
All paid for by certain organizations, probably USAID money funneled back through. That's all those protests were funded by that. Of course, all the breaking of glass, all the injuring of individuals and all the things that happened there. Of course, you know, that all was so effective. You know, it was just wonderful what they did there. It was just, you know, it's just democracy in action, I guess. Pathetic. It's just sickening. They do this kind of stuff all the time because they know the public image is that this is how everybody feels. Oh, everybody's angry. The mobs are coming out with their pitchforks. So this is what we have going on right now. We have, and that was all, you know, that was all, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop and they shouldn't stop. There won't be peace in our streets until there's peace in our, whatever, peace in our lives. The continuation of this is that it's, and what you have to understand is Barack Obama and his little minions, his little inside group, was behind all of this. It was all fabricated. And it was all done with the express purpose of overthrowing our president, our sitting, duly elected president. Now, that's... Now, there's two things that the people are screaming about. There's one is they're saying it's treasonous. Now, Tulsi Gabbard used the word treasonous. That's not a light word to be throwing around. The punishment for treason is death. Is it a high crime misdemeanor? Yes, probably is. Here's the question. People around Barack Obama, everybody who was in that meeting, Andy McCabe, some of these other people who are now commentators and contributors to MSNBC and CNN and all these other places that they will hire them to be big shots because of their anti-Trump stance. Even Peter Strzok is still, I think, on somebody's payroll. All these people now that are involved in all this, they could probably be, you know, any number of them could be the fall guy for this whole thing. Some heads are going to roll. There are some people in, supposedly there are some Republicans who are well-known, established Republicans who are saying they're not going to arrest other people. There needs to be people arrested for this. Because they knew. There are people definitely involved. Now, can Barack Obama be arrested? Now, there's a lot of legal back and forth about all this. Some are saying no because now he has presidential immunity because of what Trump won, because of Trump winning the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court case. Now that gives Obama presidential immunity. No. There are others that say no, and I say no. That has to do with things that are officially done within the official acts of the president himself. Now, undermining an election is not something that is official, not officially an act of the president, and directing his people to divulge mis. You know, first of all, you took an oath. You're sworn into presidency, and why take the oath if you're not going to be held accountable to that oath? That's my question. Why do they even take that oath? It's just a formality. It used to be taken seriously. And if it was one of those things where if you didn't abide by it, you broke your oath, and so therefore you're done. So there's one question of, does he have presidential immunity? Some would say yes, some would say no. If it does rise to the crime of treason, then no, he does not have immunity to commit treason. In fact, he doesn't have immunity to commit to perpetrate anything like this, in my opinion. However, there's another issue, statute of limitations. There's no statute of limitations for treason. However, there is for any other multiple crimes that may have been committed. Now, the way treason works, or the way statute of limitations works, is when the crime is committed, you have a certain amount of time before you have to start prosecution. Now, the statute of limitations, and anybody who was involved in that meeting, unless they formally bowed out and disassociated with it, there's no statute of limitation. That conspiracy continues. The conspiring to commit treason or whatever they're going to get them on. That crime continues as long as it has not been stopped or when anything's been stopped. Now, if everyone says that they're pulling back from this and they're abolishing themselves from it or they're absolving themselves from it, that's when the statute of limitations would start at that point. In the meantime, the conspiracy continues to roll. If you're conspiring with other individuals, that's the way I understand it. That's the way the lawyer explained it to me. That's kind of what I'm understanding. Just because you were in that one meeting and haven't talked about it since doesn't mean that you're outside that conspiracy anymore. You're still part of that statute of limitations. It doesn't matter. You didn't formally absolve yourself from it. That's the way I understand it. I don't know if it's absolutely true or not. I don't know. Makes sense to me. So whatever they go after, now keep in mind, this is back in 2016. This was like, what is it, 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago. So this has been a long time ago. And so we have, you know, some issues with that, statute of limitations issues. Now, I don't know how this is all going to pan out. I know that it's, you know, we're coming into this season of elections. There's probably going to be some investigations and some, it doesn't need to be a special counsel. That just needs to be a prosecution and be done with it. Maybe a congressional hearing or something like that. And then recommendation for prosecution. However that works out, however it's going to manage, I don't know. But it's just one of those things where you're going to hear a lot of different people saying, oh, you know, Obama's going down, Obama's going to prison. And of course, now Trump, he tweeted out this little thing of Obama getting, they're sitting in chairs next to each other. And the next thing you know, these guys come up and they arrest him and they throw him in jail. And it's kind of an AI generated thing. It's pretty funny, actually. And I don't think Trump would have posted it had there been any chance of Obama actually going to jail. I don't think he's going to go to jail. But it's politically damning and damaging to the Democrats, and of course, to their messiah, Obama. And we'll see how it all works out. I'll talk more about it tomorrow. Tomorrow morning will be a show. Hopefully, I will be going to, I'll be in Appleton, Wisconsin tomorrow night. And I'm not sure if I'm going to have the show from there and then post it on Thursday. But I'll also be in White Plains on Friday night. So, or Thursday night, I'm sorry. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. 812-379-3778.